But first up today, Kevin Wilmot has a new film in the works. It chronicles Wilt Chamberlain's days at the University of Kansas, where Wilmot works as a film professor. Among Kevin's other films is CSA, the Confederate States of America, about the United States had the South, won the Civil War. And Kevin, welcome back. And man, you're on one show, you're on this show, you're becoming too big for your britches here. I can just tell.
Well, yeah. I'm just pleased you guys like me. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Don't assume too much here.
Don't go too far, yeah. Right?
Your Wilt Chamberlain film does not have the word Wilt in the title. Instead, you're calling it Jayhawkers.
Yes.
Why?
Well, I think that the movie is equal parts Fog Allen's story and Chancellor Murphy's story as well, and of course the great Wilt Chamberlain, and it's really also more than anything, it's probably about this time in Lawrence and in America that where social change was taking place in terms of race.
The late 1950s and
yes.
mid-1950s and moving forward, right?
Yes, exactly. I mean, yeah. The Brown decision had just happened in Topeka,
right?
And Lawrence was segregated at the time, and KU was not officially segregated, but was clearly socially segregated. And so, you know, there's this amazing kind of change that takes place when Wilt Chamberlain shows up on the scene.
And it turns out that Wilt Chamberlain didn't really understand that Lawrence was as segregated as it was. That was an eye-opener for him.
Yes, very much so. I mean, he... You know, he was kind of told by Fog Allen, you know, he's trying to get him to come. And, you know, the whole world wants him to play for their college, for their team. And Fog said, you know, you'd have no problems there in terms of race. And he knew he couldn't play down south. Wilt knew he couldn't play down south. You know, no, that was just out. And also that even, you know, if he thought about going to Indiana, almost went to Indiana. And so he knew they would have to arrange not playing down south.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Fog said you'd have no problem at KU, he just took it for granted that it wasn't segregated, but it was.
And then reality was something very different.
Very much so.
You know, it's amazing to me that, you know, as time sort of moves on, there is an extent to which people are beginning to forget just how game-altering Wilt Chamberlain was and just how great he was. I mean, this was a guy who truly changed the game in ways that'll never be changed like that again, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, we have a sequence in the film that's kind of about all the rules that are changed because of him. And, you know, one was that he used to jump from the free throw line and dunk on free throws. And they said, you can't do that anymore.
It turns out he was a lousy free throw shooter.
Yeah, well, that's why he probably did
that's
that.
That's why they changed the rules.
That's why they changed the rules, you know. And,
so he would take off, like, from midcourt and leap at the free throw line and dunk the ball and make his free throw.
And make his free throw. And they said, no, you can't do that anymore. And they used to throw the ball over the backboard to him, and he would dunk. And they said, you can't throw the ball over the backboard anymore. And
well, I'd love to see footage of him leaping from the free throw line and dunking.
I don't think it exists. I don't think it exists. But that was one of the rules they put in place because of him.
Yeah. What was Wilt's family's involvement in your film? How do they configure into all this?
Well, we approached him early on, and we've been working on this film a long time. And we approached him early on to kind of, you know, support the film. There's you know, when you make a film that you know, has still family that is around that you know, are members of that family or so forth, you don't really have to get the rights to them from them, but you often want to try to get their cooperation, you know, in terms of stories,
sure.
In terms of, you know. And so we worked with the family early on, and then as time went on, you know, it was very difficult to find the money to make this film. I mean, Hollywood was not interested in it. Even locally, it was
But Hollywood was interested in a certain kind of film about Wilt, the kind of film that you didn't want to do.
Exactly.
What did they want, and what did you not want to do?
Well, no, it was when I was with William Morris, you know, I told them about the project, and they said, oh, it'll be about 20,000 women, you know. And
that he said he once made love to over the years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, that was just him exaggerating. And you know, I didn't want to make that film. And, of course, that was the only film they really could see about him, really. And where would that film go?
I mean,
well,
what's the arc of a film like that?
Exactly. And then the other issue was that, you know, when I spoke to Spike Lee about it, I spoke to other people about it, and no one thought there was anybody that could play Wilt Chamberlain. And so what was really great was that we were able to find, I think, the perfect person in the country to play him.
Who was?
Justin Wesley, who's a member of the KU basketball team.
He's still there now.
He's a senior this year.
Yeah. How did you find him, and how did he do?
Well, you know, it was really great because we've been working with Coach Self over the years on this project, and he's been very supportive. And so when we finally got in a spot where we thought we could finally make the film, we said, you know, who do you suggest, you know, because he had suggested other people along the way. We asked him, and he said, he thought for a minute, and he said, I have the perfect guy for you, Justin Wesley.
Really?
So if this coaching thing doesn't work out for Coach Self, I think he could be a casting agent.
And Justin was perfect. Why?
Well, he looks like Wilt Chamberlain for one thing. I mean, he's built like him,
especially, you know, with his haircut. I read
when we cut his hair, he's got the facial structure. Him, and I think he's a really fine actor. You know, he really holds his own in the film with a lot of really, really fine actors, and he wants to be an actor now. So. I think we've given him the bug.
Maybe he'll do the 20,000 Women film at some point.
Yeah, probably, someone out there wants to do that. Well, the Hollywood, we'll forget about all of us here. Yeah. You know?
The film comes out when?
The premiere is February 14th, 15th, and 16th.
In Lawrence?
In Lawrence at the Lead Center.
And, oh, that sounds great.
So it's going to be a really, really good time, big time to finally show this film.
You know, you mentioned, Kevin, this film centers around Forrest Fogg Allen, the Jayhawks coach, and he's been called the father of basketball coaching, and his decision to recruit Wilt. Give us a little broader sense of just how highly sought Wilt Chamberlain was coming out of high school. It's sort of like Andrew Wiggins all over again, right?
Very much so. I mean, he had hundreds of offers. And, you know, the NCAA is there at the time. And, you know, but you know, it's hard to regulate. It was much harder to regulate things at that time. This is 55. And so, you know, people are... they're wheeling and dealing. They're trying to get him to come there. And, you know, he has the pick of any place in the country he wanted to play. And
he picks Lawrence. Why?
Well,
he's a Philadelphia kid.
Exactly. Well, he picked it because of Coach Fogg Allen. And people don't understand, but Coach Allen was the coach in basketball. He was, you know, he played under Coach Naismith, who created the game. And, you know, Coach Naismith, you know, he didn't believe that you could coach basketball, and he's the only, you know, coach at KU with a losing record is the guy that creates the game.
No kidding.
And
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it was really Fogg Allen that took basketball and really turned it into a coachable institution.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so all of these other amazing coaches come out of Fogg Allen, you know, Adolf Rupp and, you know, Ralph Miller and, you know, Dean Smith, all of those guys played for Fogg Allen, and they become great coaches themselves. So Fogg Allen is the roots of the tree of basketball.
So Wilt wanted to play for the John Wooden of his era,
exactly,
in a sense. And
exactly.
How do you blame him for that?
Exactly. Yeah. And he was the guy.
But Wilt didn't know that Fogg Allen wasn't going to be around to coach for a whole lot longer when he came to Lawrence, right?
Well, that's the big shocking
the
thing.
The big mystery
the
here.
Big, yeah. That's the big thing in the film is that I don't want to give too much away, but
which I just did.
Well, no, but
you're welcome.
No, it's all good. I mean, it's public record, but it's you know, it's really interesting how age was the factor then. And, you know, we didn't think people, you know, when they got into their 70s, really could do things anymore. And so you were forced to retire back in those days.
And this film includes some scenes from perhaps the greatest college basketball game ever played right here in Kansas City.
Yes.
At Municipal Auditorium.
Yes, indeed. Triple overtime against North Carolina.
Yeah, and what a game. We'll leave that one.
Sure.
That one just sort of sit there then. How do you deal with Wilt Chamberlain actually playing basketball in the film? Are you filming live footage and that kind of thing?
Well, that was one of the things that was great about having a KU basketball player play the part. I mean, he, you know, I would just say, Justin, you know, I need you to dunk do a slam dunk and run and do this, or dunk from behind, or and he just do it.
It's like, no problem.
No biggie.
What else you want, Kevin?
What else you want? Yes, yeah. Indeed.
We're visiting with Kevin Wilmot. He's a KU film professor, about his new film titled Jayhawks. It's about Wilt Chamberlain and his decision to come to Lawrence to play his college basketball. You've written that the story of Wilt and Lawrence, Kevin, serves as a parallel to the civil rights movement that would transform an entire American society. Give us, a fuller sense here. How is the story a parallel to the civil rights movement?
Well, the Brown decision had just happened in Topeka, but that was just the schools. And so, Kansas City, Lawrence, this whole area was still very much segregated. And, like on Mass Street, it's amazing to think about that now, but on Mass Street in Lawrence, black women couldn't try on hats, they couldn't try on dresses, it was kind of what my mother would have called a nice, nasty segregation. It wasn't like colored or white signs, but it would be like a small sign at the bottom, colored served in sacks, or it was just understood that you ate outside, you didn't eat inside, and so it was really kind of hard to know. I mean, I think a lot of people miss the realities of it. I mean, certainly I think one of the elements of the film is how some of Will's white colleagues didn't really see the racism, the segregation going on, because, yeah, it was done in such a way that was easily kind of invisible in a way. And if they did see it, they didn't see the negative effects of it. And so that's one of the issues in the film.
Most of your films, Kevin, deal with race, but some of them, I guess not this one, do so in sort of a tongue-in-cheek way.
Right.
I'm thinking of CSA, Confederate States of America, or Destination Planet Negro. Why have you gone that way?
Well, there's not many satires in America anymore. I mean, satire is kind of becoming a dying art, except for something like Saturday Night Live, something like that. What you see now is parody all the time, and Hollywood does a lot of parodies, but they do very little satire. And the parodies they do are even based on movies, usually that parody that came out like a year before or 2 years before. And I think that's because if they're any older, then the audience, the teenage audience, won't know these films.
Yeah.
And satire is smart. I mean, you have to be smart to get satire. It's kind of an educated audience to a large degree. And so, like, for instance, with Destination Planet Negro, we recently premiered it in Chicago this summer. And
give us the idea for that film real quick, the plot.
Sure. Well, yeah. In that film, African-Americans, 1939, African-American leaders have a secret meeting, and they decide to solve the Negro problem by going to Mars. I play.
Why not? Yeah.
Exactly. It's either Toledo or Mars, one of the two, George Washington Carver creates a rocket fuel with a peanut and a sweet potato, and they build a rocket ship, and they take off to what they hope is going to be Mars, but they go through some kind of time warp and end up here today with an African-American president. And so we're able to show kind of the whole how far we've come and how far we still need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so it's...
And you do it through satire.
And you do that through satire. And so it's a way to teach. It's a way to entertain. It's a way to kind of, show things that are invisible and make them visible. It's a lot of things satire can do that that traditional film, traditional genre, drama or whatever cannot.
How do you think Lawrence is going to react to Jayhawkers, the new film about Wilt Chamberlain? How's that going to come down?
Well, I think it's going to be I think they really will love the film. I think, living in Lawrence a long time now myself, and I love Lawrence. I love this whole area. But I think people will be shocked at kind of
how tough it was.
And at the same time, they'll hopefully kind of gain an appreciation for Wilt Chamberlain and Fog Allen and Coach Chancellor Murphy and all the people that really made Lawrence a great place. I mean, it didn't happen on its own. It was a fight. And that fight started really when Wilt Chamberlain showed up.
Kevin Wilmot's new film, Jayhawkers, premieres on Valentine's Day. More information about that will be forthcoming in the weeks and months to come, right?
Yes, indeed.
Again, Kevin teaches a film at the University of Kansas. Kevin, it's always good to have you here.
Great.
Come back and see you soon.
Thanks, Steve.